A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Well, the former mayor of Galway City is to run as a candidate for Independent Ireland in the local elections, and he joins me on the line today. Councillor Noel Larkin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today on
the programme. Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. I knew that you were talking indeed to Deputy Fitzmaurice and the crew, but you've made the decision to go with Independent Ireland.
Yeah. I have, and to be quite honest, you know, I had contemplated getting out of politics completely, but when I spoke with Michael on numerous occasions, I like the way Michael thinks, and some of his policies as well have been very much aligned with my own ones. And when he asked me would I join the party, you know, I gave it a bit of thought, and then I said, yes, I will. I'll stand in the local elections as an Independent Ireland candidate.
And what made you decide to go for...
The decision is made now.
What made you decide to go for Independent Ireland? Because I know Fine Gael were touting you for a while as well. I don't know, did Fianna Fáil invite you into the Coven? But why Independent Ireland? Is it down to one person? Is it down to Michael Fitzmaurice?
Yeah. Look, when anytime you'd ever hear Michael talking, it's always very much common sense. And I like the way he thinks. I like the way he expresses his views there. So I think that the fact that this party, it seems to be that it's adopting a very common sense approach to some of its policies, or most of its policies. Whereas with some of the main parties, I think they're gone a little bit away from the local people. They're not they're not in tune with what people are thinking on the streets at all. That's probably one of the reasons why I wouldn't join one of the main parties. You know, you're made toe the line, regardless. I think Independent Ireland, they're not that type of a party. Like, they let people express their own opinions, and then as a group, we have a little bit more say as part of a bigger group, rather than just being an independent trying to get things done on your own.
And can I ask you, just in relation to running again, you said that you were considering not running again. I mean, the challenges, and we had Deputy Kieran Cannonan, who has decided to throw in the towel when it comes to politics. He's not running in the next election. We had him on at 9:10 this morning, giving us that news exclusively. Politics is getting very difficult at this stage, Noel, and I mean, it's getting even more difficult and more demanding.
It is, it's, you know, one time you probably, with local anyway, you know, it is a full-time job. And you're putting yourself up there, and, you know, you get the good times, but you also get the bad times there as well, like where you get, you're abused verbally sometimes. But I suppose, yeah, look, at the fact, one of the reasons that I was going to get out of it, I've 10 years in it now. So hopefully the electorate will come and give me another shot at it now with this new party. But, you know, we spent hours and hours, days and days, trying to get our city development plan through. And then it was just wiped out by a signature from the minister. Said, no, we're not allowing this planning or whatever to go through. And just dismissed us as if we had no say, and we don't have any say. If the minister is going to overrule our decisions on the city development plan, what's the point in sitting and making a city development plan?
Well, I asked that question at the time.
I suppose as an independent, I could be shouting. Sorry, Keith.
I said I asked that question at the time. What's the point in burning the midnight oil for 3 weeks, indeed, and putting together a city development plan for the minister just to put a line through it and say no?
No, yeah. I think it's very unfair. And I'd be hoping now, like with this new, by joining this new party, that I'll have a little bit more of a say, that, you know, our voices will be heard in Dáil-Éireann and in Europe as well, hopefully.
And do you see many more? I know one county councillor has joined as well, and we'll talk to him as well during the week. But do you see others that will be going for the city council? Do you see others joining Independent Ireland and running for election on that ticket?
I think there will be others coming on board. There's probably people on the outside looking in now waiting for the opportune time to come on board. I think there's more going to come on board. I think it's going to be, I think there's a lot of people that's disgruntled out there with the way government is handling, and they don't see Sinn Féin as an alternative. So I would say, yeah, there's definitely room for another party like Independent Ireland. And I think there are other people out there who will join the party. So the more that comes on board, the better.
All right. Well, all we can do is wait for the election. When do you so go into full battle gear and start the knocking on doors?
I suppose now from early April on, like it'll be full on then. There's no date announced for the election yet.
Is it 6th or 7th of June?
Everybody's getting prepared now, anyway.
There is a date out there. I think it's the 6th or the 7th of June. That it's a Friday anyway. It's the same day as the European election, and there you go. Anyway, thank you for joining us today on the program. But Councillor Declan Kelly has also from the county. He has come on board as well, Noel. So at least you have a county and a city councillor.
He has, and Declan Garrity come on board as well.
That's right. So
it's good to see that. It's good to see. We'll have a nice spread across city and county then, you know.
All right. Thank you, Lee, for joining us today. And that's Councillor Noel Larkin going again in the local elections. Your thoughts and comments, so to the comment line, if you want to get in contact with us, we'd like to hear from you today on 091-770-077 or 086-3833-553. Somebody was wondering about Garda presence on the streets on Sunday night. Keith, why weren't there any visible Gardaí anywhere to be seen on Sunday night? I was dropping someone home, as there was a man absolutely unable to walk on Salthill Prom and was out on the road hitching and swearing and banging cars that were parked. And somebody clearly with the few on board swerving in their car in and out. There was no checkpoints and the town was bulging at the seams. There yesterday at Ayr Square, people were throwing eggs at passing cars and how dangerous that is from there. There was adequate Gardaí, because I was talking to somebody within on Garda Síochána in Galway. There was adequate Gardaí out for St. Patrick's Day in Galway. And there always has been. Those throwing eggs in Ayr Square yesterday, passing cars, again, not nice, but sure, look it. How do you stop it? A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I'm joined by Tom Duffy and by Candice Taylor, and they're joining us from Duffy Circus, which is in Ballybrit, in the racecourse, and they both set up to me today. Morning to you, both of you. Thanks for joining us
today.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Tom, as you arrived in, I said, what generation are you? And you said you're...
The sixth generation. Duffy family.
You have a lot to live up to,
yes,
so yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you realise that now?
Yes, I do, every day.
And when I say a lot, I mean, because I would have dealt with your granddad and maybe your great granddad at this time around a long time.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good on the face today, but yeah. but circuses have really changed since you were young, I would have thought.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this year's production of the show is all about time travel. So our opening production is set in the late 1700s when Duffy Circus first began. So it's a lot like traditional circus schools, like juggling, hula hoops, human pyramids, all that kind of stuff in all their vintage circus costumes. Mm. So that's a kind of great nod to our beginnings.
It's a big production, isn't it, now, to run a circus?
It is, absolutely. Like this year, we've got like a lot of big production numbers in the show. Like we've got, it's all about time travel this year. So we've got like a 1920s Great Gatsby flapper production, a 1970s disco production. We go into the multiverse and meet Spider-Man, as well as all the old favourites like the Laser Man, the Wheel of Death, the Globe of Death with the motorbikes. We've got a juggler that plays the drums while she juggles. So there's a hell of a
That's
lot.
That's interesting.
In the show,
so it is.
Yeah.
Juggles while drumming.
Yes, juggles while drumming.
Plays the drums.
Yeah, plays
juggling balls.
Yeah, there was a few of them around for St. Patrick's Day, all right, I'm told in Galway, but didn't end well for them altogether. And again, how long is the run going to be for you then in Galway?
So we're here till Sunday. So we've got one show tomorrow and Thursday at 6:30, two on Friday and two on Saturday and Sunday, and then we're off to Claire Morrison Castle Bar next week.
And again, from a logistics point of view, I mean, from set up to takedown, I mean, there's a huge amount of work involved in this.
Absolutely. Like, we've got a crew of about 40 of us, and there's like 20 odd trucks and trailers. So it's a
big industry.
It's very big. Yeah.
Candice Taylor, you are the ringmaster. How did you get involved with the circus?
I've been in circus about 15 years. So I had a dance background, and then my first professional circus job was as a magician's assistant performing an illusion act. So I came over to Ireland just after COVID, after a lot of the artists left kind of due to COVID, mm-hmm. And began as an aerialist, and then have slowly kind of taken over the role of ring mistress, kind of alongside Tom's dad, David Duffy.
Yeah.
So he can, you know, have a day off and watch the football when he needs.
Very important for David now.
It's very important.
Not that he's that old, by the way. He's still a young man, so he is. But again, from your family point of view, did anybody ever run away with the circus before?
No, and it wasn't the most popular decision. I think I kind of said to my mum, I'm just going to have the summer before I go back to my second year of college and just do this job for the summer, and then never left.
But when I was talking indeed to Tom there, I mean, it has so totally changed. It's now a big industry.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not the smell and the, you know, it's...
No, I think it's theatre kind of standard lighting, sound, tech, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, you know, the programming that the boys use now for the lighting and the sound, special effects. We've got pyro, we've got fire, smoke machines, we've got bubble machines, and it's all programmed and timed. So it's a real smooth, like, modern operation. It's not just...
But then to move it around like that then, Tom, so you have to configure that then each and every time you move. So when you go to Claire Morris, you have to configure again.
Yeah, the performance part is the easy part. Because everyone has that down to pat. It's the moving of different venues. You know, we could travel like 2 or 3 hours sometimes between venues. So, I mean, that's the hard part. Of it, the performance part is easy.
But again, go back to my question then. So from when you decamp out of Ballybrace then, so I mean, if they go up the main entrance is where you are, and there's plenty of parking in there.
Yeah.
But once you decamp from there and you open in Claire Morris, how long would it take you to do all of that?
Well, I mean, our last show on Sunday finishes about 6:30, and we've got a show in Claire Morris at 6:30 on Monday evening.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes we take a day off to move and build up and pull down and everything, but
so effectively they'll be moving during the night then.
Yeah, so we always move at night because we like to you know, move when the roads are quiet, so we're not, because I mean it's a big, there's like 20 trucks and trailers.
So it's a good road to Claire Morris.
Yes, though. Yeah. So we try to move at night when the roads are quiet, so we're not disturbing anyone.
Yeah.
But we'll probably do a few hours work, you know, on Sunday night once we arrive in Claire Morris.
Oh, would you work in the dark like that?
Yeah, we do. Like when we arrived here last Sunday night, we had most of the big top up by about 1 o'clock in the morning after moving from Ennis
to here.
Yeah. And again, we finished at 6:30 in Ennis, pulled the tent down, traveled here, and had the majority of this big top up.
But you have to have a tent master with you then?
Well, me, my brother, and dad.
You're the tent masters.
We're the tent masters, yeah.
And again, that itself is a challenging job.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But like, okay, we've been doing this now we've been open 5 weeks now, so everyone kind of knows their jobs now. So like, once we get after the
it tightens up.
Like
but I think with like modern technology as well, like you use a lot of drone footage now to pre-plan where everything's going to park, so we can share that amongst the staff so people know kind of where they're going when they arrive and pre-planning routes.
I thought you'd be on top of the tent when he's putting it up. Candice, I'm looking at you, by the way.
Oh, God, no.
I thought you'd be on top of the tent.
No, sure, I'm watching.
Left, not a little bit left, yeah, from there. So, you're running then. Give me those times again, Tom. And where can they book tickets, or can they just rock up on the day,
apparently? Yeah, I mean, the best way is to book online at duffycircus.com. There's always a lot of offers on the Facebook page as well. But you can book still on the door, the tickets available half office. An hour before the show at the box office, yeah.
How long is the performance?
2 hours.
2 hours performance from there. Yeah, it's a big one for you, so it is.
Yeah.
Are there any animals involved?
No, we don't have animals at the moment.
Not at all?
No.
Good on you. Oh. What I can't believe is in a short space of time how well it's pivoted to no animals?
And yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like we still had animals, our horses and everything up till COVID. But then after COVID, like a lot of our specialist stable staff all left or went to go home. And we just didn't feel like if, you know, when we were moving out again, if we didn't have the specialist guys there,
yeah,
and we couldn't do it properly.
I think it's better because I remember some people giving out about having animals in a
circus.
Sure, yeah. That's all gone.
Yeah.
So then Candice's mother doesn't have to worry about her running away with circus. She ran away with she's running away with a theatre company, so she has.
Exactly.
Is that how you sell it now?
I think, it's kind of a fusion of theatre-style entertainment with very much narrative-based now rather than just a spectacle where you're running one act after another. We really try to tell a story with the show.
And do you then, once you get to Claremorrestore, then do you do a quick dress rehearsal before you start?
No, not really. I think once we've got that first week out of the way, we spend about 4 days with rehearsals. We have a choreographer come in, teach all the staff the production numbers. And then once we're there on the road, really, it's just old hat. By the second week, you feel like you've been doing the same show for
good on you.
For
good
years.
On you. Guys, thanks for dropping into us. And again, if you want to get further details, you can do so. Just go to duffycircus.com. They're based in the racecourse in Ballybrit. So if you go up the avenue, we call it, that's what it is. And if you go up the avenue and up past the DIY and the builders providers on the right-hand side, so you come in off the Parkmore Road, turn left or turn right into it. How long before the show should they be there, Tom?
If they pre-book tickets, I mean, half an hour is fine.
Half an hour?
Yeah. There. But I mean, there's not many tickets left for the weekend, so...
So the weekend is...
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday is almost sold out, so they want to get their tickets in.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us today in the programme. Good luck.
Thanks.
And do bring your mother over and show her the wonderful...
She's been. She was well impressed.
Show her Galway and show her how wonderful it is and that you're all good. So, yeah. Candice and Tom, thank you for joining us. DuffyCircus.com for the details from there. Now, though, let me go to Galway Gardaí because I'm joined by Garda Kevin Farley, who joins me on the show this morning. And Garda Farley, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Good, thanks for joining us today. We're looking at a number of issues today. Burglary in Corrifin, you're looking at there today. You've got full details on this.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Corrifin investigating a break-in that occurred at the Annabelle Inn public house on the 14th of March between 12:15 and 1:05 a.m. Four persons can be seen entering the premises. The contents of the cigarette machine were stolen. Gardaí and Corrifin are looking to speak to anyone who may have seen any suspicious activity in the area or anyone who may have any information in relation to this incident. So contact Corrifin Garda Station on 093-414-22 or the Garda Confidential Line on 1800-666-01.
Now, we're looking at another burglary in the city indeed, and why this happened, for the life of me, I can't figure this one out, but a burglary at St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church in Lombard Street there.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Galway are appealing for witnesses to a break-in at St. Nicholas's Church, Lombard Street, Galway, that occurred between the 14th and 15th of March. Entry was gained to the church for breaking through a side door. Gardaí and Galway are anxious to speak to anyone who may have been in the area and witnessed any suspicious activity. You're asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-53-1000.
Now, Gardaí and Galway are looking at a burglary in the Newcastle Road area as well.
That's right, Gardaí and Galway investigating a break-in that occurred at an apartment on the Newcastle Road, Galway, on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, between 2 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. The apartment was entered by the suspect, and a quantity of cash was taken from the apartment. Anyone who may have been in the area around this time has observed any suspicious activity or has any information relating to this incident, ask to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-53-1000 or the Garda Confidential Line at 1800-666-111.
Now, we're going back to St. Patrick's Day, so we are in an assault on Williams Gate Street in the heart of Galway City.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Galway are investigating an assault at the corner on William Gate Street, Galway, on 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, at approximately 9:45 p.m., when an altercation took place in the street and a female was assaulted. Gardaí and Galway are looking to speak to anyone who may have witnessed this assault or ask to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-53-1000 or indeed call the confidential line on 1800-666-111.
And Garda Farley, we're looking at the theft of a trailer in the Kinvara area. Now, this is quite distinct, and you have full details on this.
That's right. Gardaí and Kinvara investigating the theft of a trailer in Newton Lynch, Kinvara. Both Gardaí investigating the theft of a Farrell Builders trailer, 10 foot by 5 foot, from a residence in Newton Lynch, Doris, Kinvara, on the 12th of March. The recently purchased trailer had a Larry's Trailers Tipperary sticker attached. Anyone who may have any information relating to this theft are asked to contact Canberra Garda Station at 091-637-102 or indeed the Garda Confidential Line at 1800-666-111.
Or if you know somebody who's come into a spanking new Larry's Trailer Tipperary trailer and that they may have bought for cheap money, you might be good enough to contact your local Garda station. Let's go to Oramore, and there was a theft there in Quilclucca.
That's right. Guardian Oramore investigating the theft of two gas cylinders at Quilclucca Estate, according to 70 in the March, against St. Patrick's Day between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Anyone who have been in the area and observed any suspicious activity are asked to contact Oramore Garda Station on 091-388-030.
Again, house fire indeed in Shkahana South, Woodlawn and Ballinasloe. And this is quite serious, and the Gardaí indeed are looking for assistance on this.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Clareichel are investigating a house fire at the court of Shkahana South, Woodlawn, Ballinasloe on the 16th of March at approximately 3:30 a.m. The property was unoccupied at the time. Extensive damage was done to the property as a result of the fire. Gardaí and Clareichel are looking to speak to anyone who may have been in the area around this time, or indeed anyone who may have any information relating to this incident, are asked to contact Kilrical Garda Station on 091-843-002 or the Garda Confirmation Line on 1800-666-111.
Now, you look at criminal damage on the Grattan Road, Cladda area as well there.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Galway investigating a criminal damage incident that occurred on Grattan Road at Cladda on the 13th of March at approximately 12:20 p.m. where a cyclist approached the driver's side of a grey Toyota Corolla. The cyclist then proceeded to kick the wing mirror off this car and then proceeded to kick the side door of the car. Gardaí and Galway, anxious to speak to anyone who may have been in the area and witnessed this incident, or indeed anyone who may have dash cam footage of this incident, or asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-538-000 or indeed to Garda Confirmation Line at 1800-666-001.
It's been a busy, busy week for you as well, but you're going to criminal damage in the Gort area there.
That's right, Gort Gardaí are investigating a criminal damage incident whereby the last pane of the front door of a house at George Street, Gort, was damaged in the early hours of the 18th of March. Anyone who has any information or has to contact Gort Garda Station on 091-636-400.
And that's just yesterday, so it is. A traffic accident at Menlo Village indeed last Friday. You have details on it and you're looking for any witnesses.
That's right, Keith. Traffic accident on Lohan Menlo Village. Gardaí and Galway Station are appealing to anybody who have seen, who may have seen a white Dacia Jeep with a 142G registration number. This vehicle passed through the toll bridge at Capintoggle at the M6 Friday morning on the 15th of March at approximately 4:30 a.m. It was travelling in the Galway direction. This vehicle was involved in a serious traffic collision at Menlo Galway at approximately 7 a.m. on the same morning, and Gardaí are keen to hear from anybody who may have come across this vehicle or anybody who have made dashcam footage of this vehicle, or asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-538-000 or indeed the Garda Confirmation Line on 1800-666-111.
And finally today you have some news in relation to some traffic disruption indeed for Connacht Rugby on Saturday next, the 23rd of March.
That's right, Keith. Connacht will play this Saturday at the sports grounds at 5:15 p.m. the 23rd of March. Gardaí wish to advise anyone coming into the city that there will be traffic restrictions in place close to the sports grounds before and after the match.
And again, just give yourself time to get there. The kickoff, as you said, is 5:15 p.m. so try and get there good and early. And adequate parking, and not in local housing estates either. Gather Kevin Farrelly, thank you for joining us today on the programme, and have a good and a safe week, and thanks to you and your colleagues indeed for what you do on an ongoing basis. And if you've been offered that trailer, by the way, or you witnessed that criminal damage in Grattan Road there, but that trailer, by the way, it's a Farrow Builders trailer, 10 foot by 5 foot, recently purchased, Larry's Trailers, Tipperary, sticker on the back of it. If you can at all, the Gardaí in Kinvara on 091-637-102. We're back just after these. Yeah, very good morning to you. We want to welcome in Mary Costa, who's from Shkahan indeed, and now living in Kinvara, having spent a lot of time in Dublin. And she's brought a new book to the market. It's called Barcelona, but it's not just Barcelona. There's many stories in it. Now, the Galway launch of Barcelona is on this Thursday at 6 p.m. in Charlie Burns Bookshop. In the corn store there. Mike McCormack, writer, will launch Mary's book, and all are welcome to all. But Mary says, after Mary, morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us. I said to you before you came in there, how long were you writing this book? And you said?
10 years, approximately, on and off.
You put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, the stories come slowly. I did write two novels in between as well. So the stories happen intermittently. You know, an idea will come and you'll drop down notes and, you know, it'll accumulate after a while. And sometimes there'll be a commission, you know, RTE or the Irish Times will ask for a story, so that'll be a prompt. But yeah, on and off over 10 years. It would take me 5 or 6 months to write a story. There's a lot of rewriting that happens. You know, it's not just jotting it down.
But that's what, I suppose, it's that tenacity that you have that makes it as good as it is then.
Maybe it is. One of the things is, as a writer, you're trying to put your finger on something and trying to get the voice right. You know, if a character comes to me, it usually starts with a character, and I will have her or him in my mind for a good while and not really found a home for them. And then somebody will trigger a thought, and the story accumulates slowly until, now you're never happy with it, you know, always full of self-doubt, but you're always trying to get to the point where you're happy. It's elusive.
But are you happy when you hit the send button and it's gone to the printers?
I am.
Or the editors?
I am indeed.
Because you have
lucky.
No control then.
That's right, yeah. Well, my publishers, their UK publisher Canongate, they've been very good and have taken all my books. And it's always great to get a short story collection, because story collections are, you know, a lot of time it's writers who read them. Even though Irish people grew up in short stories.
That's right. Yeah.
We all know that, you know, Frank O'Connor and Brendan Behan and Mary Lav and all those stories. There's, you know, guards and teachers and mechanics out there who often think of those stories, I like to think. It was our gateway to literature in many ways.
But no, I'm a lot older than you, but when I was going to school, though, was it a book called Soundings or something?
That's right.
And that was short stories.
Yeah, and Exploring English. Yeah,
Exploring English. Yeah,
short stories. Very. I don't know if other countries did what we did, but the short story seems to be very much attached to our psyche. You know, we tell stories and short stories work well.
Well, we're storytellers in this country.
We are, yeah. And Joyce, famously, you know, Dubliners, his famous collection, and he's synonymous with that idea of a moment of insight, an epiphany. A lot of short stories deliver that, where a character comes to some insight.
Mm. So how many stories then are in Barcelona?
There are 9 stories in Barcelona. The opening story is called Barcelona. It's the title story, and it's about a couple who visit Barcelona for their 4th anniversary. And it's about the tensions within the marriage, and the sort of, a lot of my stories have characters who, very ordinary characters, men and women, fathers and sons, who are maybe somewhat distant from each other. They're very ordinary. There's no great dramas here, but it's about the ordinary everyday lives of people where they hurt each other. They sometimes hurt others, hurt themselves. And it's about that straining towards understanding, forgiveness, mm-hmm. empathy. Also, a lot of my characters sometimes feel it's easier to be the one hurt than the hurter. There's a lot of empathy for the person who does the hurting. There are affairs. There are moments when damage is done. Fathers and sons. There's one story, the second story, where a retired schools inspector goes to Paris to meet his adult son, who's a scientist in America. And his son works for Homeland Security. He works, and the father suspects that his son is involved in biological warfare, study. And he remembers an incident when the son was a child, an incident of cruelty to an animal, to a frog. And that sparks in him a question in himself about the nature of us. And do we never know anybody, even our children? And how moments like that can have, I suppose, with Oppenheimer and all of that movies, all of that in question, how do we know when evil starts? So the father is sent into a thought process where he's imagining, he doesn't know for sure, but he thinks his son may be involved in something that he doesn't approve of.
Nothing the father can do about it. Here am I getting hooked in now, giving advice back to you, and it's in black and white. I shouldn't be, yeah.
Yeah. And
I just kind of wonder, you were a teacher by trade. But like, where do you get that thought process from? Because all of a sudden, telling me that story about the father and all of that, you have me hooked in, I'm looking at you, I'm listening to you. But like, where do you start something like that?
Well, I suppose, you know, I read a lot, so I spend probably more of my time with dead writers than I do with living relatives sometimes. You know, we live in our heads a lot of the time. But maybe we eavesdrop, maybe writers are more tuned. I remember once reading an essay about creativity by a French mathematician called Poincaré, and his essay was, where does creativity start? He said that in childhood, the perception between understanding and writing is always there. All children are creative, and maybe with life, the door closes on some of us. and some of us it stays open. But in general, I taught in Dublin for years, and I would hear stories about kids doing this, pranks at Halloween and everything, and stories about cruelty to animals occasionally. One of those stories prompted the frog story in that story. But also, there's another story there called The Chalk Ice Woman. It's about a couple. She's a librarian, and they live in Dublin, and her husband is a gas fitter. He works with a gas company. And they're long married. She's due to retire, but she has discovered that he has been unfaithful. And the moment comes to her, she's riding this number 16 bus home from work one day, and she sees his van, and she's about to wave at him, but there's a woman in it eating a chalk ice, and it's a sunny day, and she offers the chalk ice across to the driver,
who happened to be her husband.
And my character, her world falls apart. The ground gives, you know. So these are the sort of moments in stories that you can have an effect on a reader. They're very ordinary moments. They're very private. A lot of my stories occur in people's minds. You know, there's shame, there's guilt, there's private pain or trauma. You wouldn't know it from walking around. From these people function normally. Yeah. They go to work. But that's I think that's what interests me, the way our inner lives can be full of turmoil and excitement. But a lot of the time, what isn't always acknowledged is that people are very forgiving. You know, in this character, yeah, she understands her husband. He had a tough childhood, and she's straining to understand him.
Mm. But again, you know, she was retiring. They had a good relationship, as she thought. And then she's on the bus and she sees the queer one in the van with them having a chalk ice. Now, you called the story Chalk Ice.
The Chalk Ice Woman.
But even the image of her handing the chalk ice over to the driver of the van, who's her husband. Mm-hmm. And that's a fleeting moment, because the buses kind of go fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. That bus goes fairly quickly. So it's to encapsulate that quickly.
Yeah.
And then the fallout from it.
The fallout is terrible. And it's a private fallout. She tells no one. So this is the secret she keeps all her, you know, for years. And she does. The story is set in a hearse. She is accompanying the remains of her aunt down to Kerry. You know, in the country, a family member often sits into the front of the hearse for the journey.
Travels with them, yeah.
Travel. My brother travelled with my father's remains. And as the undertaker is a relative stranger, but along the journey, she tells him some of this story. So she confides in a relative stranger. And that's what a short story can hold. It can hold that intensity in a small space.
But did she confide in the undertaker because the remains of her mom were in the back and she was hoping that mom might have found out about it?
No, I think it was just a moment.
I'm challenging you here.
Just
now.
A moment. A moment.
Rewrite that line. Mom knocked on the coffin and said, I'll look after him when I get upstairs. I can deal with
that's
him.
A nice notion.
Yeah. So how many in total then did you say, Raina?
There are 9 stories. Some of them are about couples. There's a lot of the time I get asked about, there's a lot of stories that deal with animal suffering and animal pain, and it's hinted at stories throughout the collection.
What's your fascination with that?
Well, I grew up on a farm. My father's a beef farmer, and I come from the country. And but I'm a vegetarian for about 30 years, so I'm the only vegetarian in my family. Needless to say, and
that was a brave thing to do 30 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose It came about because I suppose I suddenly woke up to the suffering of animals. Now, the stories in the collection don't concentrate on this. One story does, but it really, it's about man's cruelty to each other and to other species. Man is the only species that hunts for sport, for instance. I don't have any argument with farmers or the meat industry, because society in general utilizes animals. I wear leather shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so society in general, if I lived in Africa and had 6 children starving, I would have to go out and kill the goat myself. You know, so it's a matter of needs must. So
you get it, but you made the decision not to.
Yes, I did, yeah.
To buy into that.
Yeah. So, but it's in general, what disturbs me and distresses me in general is the power of the strong against the weak. You know, the powerful exploit the weak, the powerful crush the weak. And I don't mean just in terms of humans and animals.
Food and that, yeah.
I mean, in terms of politics, look what's happening in Gaza. It's always the weak. And I think the strong, those of us who are strong, have an onus to stand up and speak out for those who are voiceless and defenseless. That includes elderly, disabled people, children. We acknowledge that they have to be protected. So I think that as society develops and as man evolves, it will extend into other species. And it has. You know, we're concerned about the environment and the planet.
We are, but then on the other side, look what's happening to the environment, and we're a small island, and look what's happening in China.
I know. It's one of those terrible predicaments. It's one of those conundrums. And those sort of moral challenges and moral dilemmas that everybody thinks about, that's what my character is. That's sort of the road they're on, thinking about these moral conflicts. You know, what? How do we continue to love and live with someone who harms us, for instance, in this case, the Chuck Ice woman character. She's living and she still loves her husband because she understands him. He had a difficult childhood. So
no excuse of going off and having an affair with the Chuck Ice woman.
No excuse. No. But this happens and people forgive. And I think that's what's very interesting about humanity is the great gift for empathy and for understanding others.
Yeah. Very few have it.
I suppose not enough. I don't know. I think man is inherently good, and I think there are an awful lot. We hear a lot of bad news, but I think there's an awful lot of good that happens that often doesn't get told.
Yeah, that's true too, though, yeah. So the launch, as we said, is taking place this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. in Charlie Byrne's bookstore. Mike McCormick is doing the launch, yeah?
He is indeed.
How did you get Mike to go out on?
Mike is a good friend and another Galway writer. And actually, years ago, we were both shortlisted for a Hennessy Award way back in the 90s in short stories, our early short stories published. And it was the Sunday Tribune then. And then he went on and had great success. He published a few books. I was teaching and didn't publish anything till I was in my 40s. So, yeah, Mike is a good guy and a good writer, an excellent writer and a good friend.
And again, so anybody can pop along to Charlie Byrne's on Thursday at 6 p.m. And what is the book selling at? So he wants to know.
There's a hardback, I think. I'm not sure. There's a hardback and a paperback. So
just going to Charlie Byrne's and Vinnie will have them.
Yeah,
there.
They're in all the shops in Galway.
Yeah. Do you ever think God for politics?
I did not, no.
Do you know?
I wouldn't last. I can't. I'm not even on social media. I'd be terrified. Terrified.
No, I mean, you've such a grasp. I'm not patronising or blowing smoke. You've such a grasp. Maybe it's just the writing. You have a grasp and a confidence that's fairly unique for a writer.
Is it? Well, I suppose after it's 5 years since my last book, so we're indoors. I'm hiding for 5 years. It's terrifying then when a book comes out, you have to go back out into the world. And, you know.
So in Kinvara, they'll be saying, that's the one that I wrote the book.
We live a very quiet life in Kinvara, I have to say. But yes, we have lovely neighbours. So, yeah.
That's the most important thing. So well done, T.S. Call Barcelona. Tell me the story about your six-year-old neighbour. He thought it was all about Barcelona.
Yeah, Nathan, my neighbour, there's a St. Patrick's Day parade in Kinvara the other day, and I met him on the street, and you know, they know the book is out, and his father Fergal told me, he said, Nathan thought it was about Barcelona, the team, and he was so disappointed when he heard it wasn't, which is lovely, very, very sweet, I have to say.
Yeah, listen, well done to you. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. And again, if they want to get further details, Charlie Byrne's, where else is it available?
It's available in Kenny's and Dubray and Eason's and all the shops in Galway.
And it's just called Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us today. Now, yet to come with the programme, by the way, I'll tell you what that is in a moment. Thank you, Mary Costa, for joining us today. And if you want to get further details, you can feel free to, you can pop down to Charlie Byrne's. Now, speaking, just, it's a kind of appropriate, men and women, separated, divorced, widowed, how are you coping? And do you find that you need more support than family and friends can provide to you? A team who are themselves widowed, separated, or divorced share their experiences with you. The West of Ireland Beginners Experience Residential Weekend runs from the 22nd, Friday the 22nd to Sunday 24th of March. It's taking place in the Star of the Sea Centre in Mullaghmore in County Sligo, a beautiful area. And for further details, you can ring Maureen on 087-664-6896. That's 087-664-6896. I think that just be an escort for once when it started out many, many years ago. For more support programmes nationwide in 2023, contact Beginning Experience. Again, just for further details there. So, Beginning Experience Bandi, BANDI .org for further details. If you need that or you'd like to go along to that, what you need to do is just give us a call here and Siobhan will give you the full details on that. She has it in reception. But do that and do that straight away. Other ones coming in, I'd be very grateful if you could announce in your programme today, if at all possible, that the this weekend's weekend's beginning experience, which I've spoken to there, residential weekend in the Star of the Sea Centre in Monaghmore, County Sligo, from 5 p.m. on Friday the 22nd to Sunday the 24th of March. Now, best of luck, Keith, on your retirement from radio, Keith. I hope whoever takes your place, it's going to be John Morley. It was announced Friday. The wonderful John Morley sits outside the glass with me here. So he's taking up the reins from there. And Keith, I hope whoever takes your place gives as much time to special needs and carers as you have. Also, assessments are just the tip of the iceberg, Keith. Kids have no intervention after that for a long time. That's why I asked that question of Brian Thwarren. The staff in the public sector are not being offered permanent positions, and the staff in the private sector need to meet deadlines, which is not the case in the public sector, so they can keep their staff too. It's been a vicious cycle for years, Keith. Also, the panel was never open for people to come and work in Galway from other counties. Madness, and that's all that took. One phone call by Minister Anne Rabbit to Bernard Gloucester. Why wasn't it done years ago? And why was there no incentive for staff staying years ago? From a mum whose child was left over for 5 years with no services. Please, please do not read out my name. But it is an issue from there, this caller said to us. Keith, after checking the electoral register in the city library, we found the updated hard copy of the electoral register for one small area in the city only was 42% accuracy and was found with at least five residents who have passed away still had a vote and are still on the register. So it's the massive money being spent on updating, a waste of money unless door-to-door enumerators continue to be carried out and sort this problem out once and for all. I don't know why that didn't happen from there. And other calls coming out. Keith, I was in town at the weekend and I saw loads of Gardaí on the beat as well. So, okay, yet to come on the programme, let's tell you what's coming up the way. And again, Mary Costello's book has been launched. Mary that I spoke to there from Kinvara. It's been launched in the book's called Barcelona. This coming Thursday at 6 p.m. in Charlie Burns Bookstore. Mike McCormick, the talented Mike McCormick, is doing it from there. Yet to come to the programme, we'll be looking at trending topics, so we will. We'll also have the Evergreen slot. Helen from Evergreen joins us. And we have Music Mornings, where we have Tomás Ocanta, a singer-songwriter, and Mike Cullen is coming in to join us in studio. So that and more between now and the end of today's programme. If you do want to get in contact with us and you have a subject matter for the programme for tomorrow or during the week as well, you can do so quite simply by emailing comments, C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. Now though, let's head towards the Galway BFM news desk for the news and death notices at 11. And do stick with us, don't go anywhere else, and stick with us right through until 12 midday today. And we'll talk to you just after news and death notices. Stay tuned for that and more to come.